Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one big $349 Piplup plush on the field.
I'm Kevin. I got top eight.
Nice. You know what? I think I like yours better today.
Short and sweet.
On the Pokemon Center right now, on the Pokemon Center website, you know, the place where you buy all your plushes and stuff. There is a like life-sized Piplup plush going for about $350. It is the size of my daughter. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question.
I got an answer.
Plushies are notoriously cheap to make.
Okay.
I don't think there's any kind of magical material and stuffing that can go into that Piplup to actually make it worth even a fraction of $350. Like, even if you mass produce it, it's got to be like $50 each.
And there maximum. And there it is. Kevin, you have solved the biggest con in all of toys, is that bigger doesn't necessarily mean more expensive. If you go to like
it's just plush in the middle.
Sure. Absolutely. It's all stuffing. If you go to like a carnival, and you know those like ring toss games where they're like, hey, if you land on one of these cups, then, you know, you'll get a big old bear. Those things are super cheap to make and people will still spend hundreds on those things because they're like, hey, you know, whatever. I would have bought this bear for $100 anyway.
I mean, it's all about the ego, though.
Okay.
So got it in a carnival game.
That's true. And so that's what the Piplup is. The Piplup's a flex.
It is honestly a flex. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's cute. Mm-hmm. But you could probably make it at home. Get a sewing machine. It's probably the same price.
And then you can make them. And then you can sell them. And then you can get the cease and desist from Nintendo.
Hey, cease and desist doesn't mean sue.
Yeah, that's fair. It means stop. yeah, that's good. So, I mean, if anybody out there does have the $350 Piplup plush, wants to slap a PokeSports pin on it and take a picture of it, tweet it at us at PokeSportsPod. I would love to see it. Unironically, I would love to see it.
You know they have to do the rest of the Sinnoh starters now, right?
Oh, absolutely. Sinnoh remake confirmed. This has been the talk of the Discord for the past 2 days in the Pokemon News chat. Is just that, there's a big old plush, and that means that Sinnoh is here.
About time.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I've got quite a bit, actually, today of VGC news. One of which you're a part of. You're in the news, buddy.
Wow.
You made news.
It's the first time I ever said my name on this podcast.
That's
I'm here.
Yep. The first time. First time ever. But first, I do want to give a quick and major shout out to one Jin Furai on Twitter, who had sent a tweet. Jin Furai is a streamer, by the way. Very entertaining. Go and check him out. Might not be for all audiences. So, yeah, there's that. Who says Unite isn't pay to win and you can solo to master. Ghosting just means you have friends. That's a creator thing. PK Hex is awesome. And 95% of VGC players will spend 1,000 hours making less than $100 playing Pokemon this year. Most of these we're going to be talking about today. that was such a savage tweet and I appreciated it so much.
It's what everyone had to hear. Everyone thought it. No one had the guts to say it.
Things kind of started to spiral a bit in the Pokemon community over the past week or so. And I think Jin just kind of, you know, put the cap on. He solved it. He solved the issues.
He put all the cards on the table.
Yeah. Did it. And I agree with a lot of what he said. Anyway, we'll get into what some of that means today. First off, let's... Kevin, do you want to talk about the big thing or do you want to talk about your thing? Or the other way around.
I'll do big first, I guess.
All right. VGC Players Cup Invitational was broadcast this past weekend. We have the winner as Santino. Hooray!
That's hey, Santino. So great. The one person that wasn't a world champion actually won the whole thing. You don't need to be a world champion to win.
Yeah. That's Super Santi on Twitter. One with a very interesting team. Going in with a Kyogre, Serena, Rillaboom, Tornadus, Urshifu, and Weavile. That's a pocket pick right there.
Yeah. Oh. That's not something anyone saw coming. I'm sure when you're team building, you're not gonna be like, gotta make sure my fake out user outspeeds the Weavile.
Yeah, right.
It's not really on your top of your list of things to do. Sandy played great, man. Those were actually pretty good sets. I think there was actually a point in that tournament where, what did the Twitch view go to? Like almost 50,000.
Over 50,000.
That is wild for a Pokemon game.
Well, it makes so much sense. And like just seeing the views on that, it's all of the top players from all of the top VGC event, or some of the top VGC events. So, of course, you know, you're going to tune in to watch the best of the best, whether you're a Pokemon player now or not.
How much do you think those numbers were influenced by the popularity that Unite got in introducing Pokemon to different audiences that played MOBAs?
Oh, good one. I think it put Pokemon back in people's mouths, back in people's minds.
I can get that.
And it like reminded them that, oh yeah, back in the mid-2010s, this guy won with a Pachirisu. He's playing? Oh, okay, I'll check that out.
I think it did influence it a little bit, because a lot of these streamers didn't play Pokemon games since high school or since middle school elementary school. So it's like, oh, they get to play with their Charizards and Pikachus again. Hey, Pokemon tweeted out a tournament. Let's see what the actual game does, you know?
Right.
Like the main series game.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So I'm curious to see what that does for Pokemon kind of going forward. It puts it in a nice position, though, in like mid-August, you know, going into BDSP and going into Legends. Like, now is the time where you want to build the hype for it.
Yeah.
Like, you get 50,000 people in there and you're like, hey, by the way, pre-order now.
Oh, they should have announced something. Like, they had 50,000 people in that stream. They should have announced something big.
Oh, I bet it's a missed opportunity. It must be a regret from the broadcast side, for sure.
They should have just released that direct right then and there.
They should have just released the game right then and there. Just be like, hey, you know what? Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, available now. You'll have to wait until November 19th for Shining Pearl.
Everyone go play Diamond. Oh, that's beautiful.
And like, everybody has Growliths, and you have to wait until November to get the Vulpix.
Oh, no. Only three fire types in the game.
Or oh, no. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, congratulations, Santino.
Yeah, great. Congratulations. In other news, we've got the UX9 tour. So I'm going to hand the mic, the floor, the podium, the spotlight over to Kevin for this UX9 tour.
I was in that. First of all, thank you to everyone that did stop by and say hi to me. I did get people that recognized me, which is pretty impressive because I had a mask on, but I made sure to wear the PokeSports shirt.
Yeah,
told them I would shout them out on the podcast. So I got to get their names. Because I forgot them.
You remembered John, it on Sunday.
Yes, I did. John, also known as Taco Madness on Discord, thank you. He was a great guy. Great individual. His girlfriend stayed with him throughout the whole tournament, just like waiting there. And I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. Because mine wouldn't do that. Steve, also known as Stevie D on Discord, thank you so much for coming up to me as well. I mean, it was a great time. I honestly didn't know what to expect. Parking in New York City sucks, but, you know, I got to the tournament. I was like, okay, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know how long I'm going to be in the tournament for.
Mm-hmm.
So my expectations were kind of all over the place. It was a little bumpy to get started. There was a little bit of problems with setting up the stream. They resolved it phenomenally quickly for, you know, being... like a grassroots tournament. It's not like an actual sanctioned event or anything. They did very professional job. They went with completely sanctioned rules. They did hack checks. They did a lot of things. They made sure the teams were matching the team sheets. The streams were done professionally. It was great. And like, kudos to like everyone that was part of the team for that.
Stop you for a sec.
Yeah, go for it.
How did a grassroots tournament do hack checks?
They just took our Switches.
Okay.
And made like, sure it matched the team sheet.
Oh, okay.
The EVs made sense. Like, compare it to, like, what the actual values can be.
Okay.
They did that for Top Cut. I understand why they wouldn't do it for the whole thing. But,
right.
You know, if you cheated your way to Top Cut, you just be disqualified before you can win the thing. I forgot where I was.
How many people were there in this?
This was 30. I believe 30. It was a 30-person tournament, which is a pretty good turnout. It had a lot of spectators, too, that were there. And it was actually a really cool place, too. This is actually my first experience in a video game lounge. It was like a video game lounge / bar.
Yeah.
With drinks. That was really nice.
Yeah.
I've never been in a video game bar before, because I live in Jersey. We don't have a lot of those here, but I guess they're kind of a thing in New York. There were some people there that were gaming since the time that I got there to the time that I left, and they were playing just any random game. They weren't even part of a tournament. They were just on a computer. Yeah. I'm just like, you guys are great.
Video game bars are huge. They make all their money through drinks. The actual like subscription or entry fee like is completely negligible compared to the amount that they make off of drinks.
See, my mind is, I saw all those computers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of hard drives. That's a lot of graphics cards. You should be mining Bitcoin. That'd be a way to make money.
You
every
don't
time
know what goes on in the back there, baby.
Yeah, every night it closes. Mine Bitcoin. That's with it. Every single computer.
Every night when it closes, they press Control Alt and a number, and it just pops up.
But no, the whole experience was great. I didn't practice at all, which is probably, you know, my downfall. But I somehow managed to squeeze myself in the top 8. I got very lucky with who I lost to.
Okay.
I played my first game was pretty interesting. I actually got to use the Imprison on my Zacian and won the battle because of it, which was really nice.
That's one of your favorite things to do.
Yeah, just to shut down a Zacian.
Mm-hmm.
I won the first two. I had a person show up late to my third battle, so I ended up squeaking a win in there. And thankfully, he did very well in the tournament. I think he also got top 8, even though he like didn't battle me. So I was his only loss.
Mm.
So he made himself in top 8. So that was like one person that was really good that I played against. I got very unlucky with the pairings. And then next after that, I played Paul Chua on stream. If you guys don't know who Paul Chua is, like a 6-time regional champion, very great player, very great guy. I actually spent like a lot of my time. Yeah, he's great. I spent a lot of my time talking to him. He's a great guy. We go really far back, like when I used to actually attend tournaments in 2014, mm-hmm. 15. Yeah, he beat me live on stream. I actually didn't win a single stream match, but
streamer's curse.
I was on, I think both of my losses were stream matches.
Wow.
Yeah, it happens. I'm so happy fun. That I got to be on stream twice.
Right.
I was very animated. If you guys go back and watch this stream, I'm pretty sure you can go find it. Like, there was a point in the match where I thought I had Paul in a corner, and then he just whips out the rain dance on his Tornadus, and I just spin on my chair. It's like,
and
like, if you had to watch any match, watch the match with me and Paul, because me and Paul were just laughing the whole time playing against each other. Like, you can't hear any of it, but you could definitely see our faces, even though they're
you guys are like
mad.
A couple drinks in too. It's like. You know, you're having a good time.
I did win more in the beginning than the end.
The people get better, and the people who are sober stay the same line, and the people who drink just go down a little bit. Some people claim they play better.
Yeah. And then I went against a guy named Jam, who played very well as well. He ran a Groudon, and my team hates Groudon. It's funny, because I was talking to Paul. Me and Paul were running a very similar team. We're both running Zacian. I was like, yeah, so I just thought about this. My whole team just kind of dies to Groudon. He was like, dude, me too. I was like, yeah, I hope I don't go against any Groudons. And then I end up going against Jam. Jam beat me. And then I made it to Top Cut. I squeezed my way to Top Cut because Jam did really well also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he finished the whole tournament 3rd. And then Paul finished his tournament 5th. So the two people I lost to gave me really high resistance. So I had like a 60% resistance or 66% resistance. So I went 3-2, but I still squeaked my way into Top Cut.
Nice.
I got 6th on my way to Top Cut, but then I lost my Top Cut match. So I ended up getting 8th place total. You know, and I went against Jam again. So I had to face Groudon twice. It was rough. It was a great time.
We'll call that unlucky.
Yeah. We'll call that me not preparing.
Okay.
And my opponents being good.
That's fair. That's the nicer way to put it. Good for you for attending your first in-person event this year.
In a long time. No, mm-hmm. First in-person event, like 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
That's true.
I wanna like preface this by saying like it felt fine.
Mm.
The people there did a very good job making sure that, you know, we were following COVID guidelines and everyone was safe. Everyone was wearing masks. Everyone had, you know, wasn't eating or drinking inside the place with, you know, a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. They made sure that it would be as safe as possible.
Good. Good. And I mean, that's what you want to see from grassroots tournaments coming out of a global pandemic, is you want to see people who are actually, you know, sticking to guidelines and making sure everyone's safe, because it is in such a fragile place where, like, if you mess this up, then you are ruining it for everybody. You've got all eyes on your tournament, or they will be looking to your tournament to, like, see what the proper procedures are and how to, you know, properly go about it. So good on you, UX9 team. And or Joe, I'm sure there were other people working with, as well as all of the casters for UX9 tour, which I know, Kevin, you have somewhere.
Yes.
And I want to look that up with you. So here we go.
It was Alphonse Gate,
mm-hmm.
who was did a really good job commentating my battles. He actually made me feel like I didn't lose as hard as I did against my opponent. Nice. So thank you, Alphonse. Also, shout out to Alphonse for sending me everyone's name. The other casters also included Steven, Mia, Sierra, Don, and Joe, UX9 himself. No, they did a great job. It felt super professional to watch. All the infographics were really cool. It felt like I was watching a Pokemon live stream. So really great job there. Also, shout out to June for actually changing my name. He was one of the staff there. You're awesome. Thank you so much, June. June also, you know, I was like, it was into round five. And I was like, June, I don't know if I should stick around or not. I'm 3-2. Any chance I make it? And he actually like went up and looked at my scores. He's like, to be honest, your resistance is so good, you might squeak through. I'm like, okay, I'll stick around. And then he went up to find me later just to make sure that I was still there. He's like, yeah, you totally make it. This is the last match, and whatever happens, you're still in. I'm like, cool.
You didn't waste my time. Stop the cyclone, man.
the cyclonial. Okay. Yeah, just tell the joke. Go for it. And this is where you get to speak, Mike.
Yay! So Kevin sends us a picture of I guess the what's
that was
the
Lupus.
Name sheet?
Lupus found it on Twitter.
Oh yeah, wow. Yeah. Oh okay. So somebody took a picture of it, posted it on Twitter. Lupus found it, sent it to us. Kevin, whose last name we've famously said on the podcast is Sidonio. I guess either Kevin wrote it weird or they read it weird.
That was probably my handwriting.
That might be the handwriting. They wrote it as Cyclonio, and I love that.
It sounds like a supervillain, Cyclonio.
Exactly. The line was used in the Discord later that day. Guys, you can't call me that anymore. They fixed it. And the response was, yeah, but you can't fix us. So
thank you, June, for resolving it. The
exactly.
damage is done.
Exactly. So there's that. There's the UX9 tour. It was fun. It was really cool to hear that. Cool to hear that you went there and you know, kind of
also
be
shout out to Brady.
Went on. Brady
won the whole thing. Shout out to
of
Brady
course.
Got first place
of
with
course.
A coma O. Guy whipped out a coma O. Coma O and Suicune.
Oh.
Pocket picks, spoilers.
Pocket picks. That's what we're going to be talking about after the break. We're not going to take a break just yet because we still have Unite to be talking about. But real quick, if you want to go pick up Wolf Glick's Colossal, you can go and do that now. Pokemon is circulating that. I don't have a code for it. You can find it. It's out there. Go check.
It's everywhere.
It's
go
everywhere.
To Twitter.
I did see a tweet though from Bill of VGC. A little unfortunate, who says imagine winning Players Cup 1 with Colossal only to have a major streamer or content creator take it and then have it distributed by Pokemon. It's like, I feel for that.
It's okay. Santino got his revenge in the Players That's Cup right. 25. He ended up winning the whole thing. Exactly. So maybe he'll get a Pokemon now. Maybe he'll get a Weavile distribution.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Hey, you want to try that Weavile? In Unite. Yeah. Okay. So thank you. Lupus just posted that in the chat. It's today might be the last day. So if you're listening on podcasts, you might have missed it already. Hope you didn't. If you're looking for that, it's Victory Engine 25, except the I's are ones and the O's are zeros. Oh, that's complicated. Pokemon stop. Pokemon go. Pokemon stop. In Unite.
Pokemon Unite.
there has been a new Pokemon revealed through a not so great trailer. It's Blissey.
That trailer was bad, but the fact that they're releasing so many characters like very quickly.
It's been what, 3 weeks?
Impressive to me. Yeah. We got two new characters. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And a major patch. I mean, hey, I'm here for this.
Yeah.
They keep this up. This might be a relevant game for a long time.
I mean, they've certainly got a lot of source material to pull from, so.
You got 898 Pokemon. Have fun, guys.
Get all of them. Get all of them.
I mean,
make
that's
it impossible to choose in the select screen.
I was thinking about that in the car ride today. I was like, how are other games like League and Dota? They take months to release a character, but like they're able to like whip out new characters every couple of weeks. And my mind was like, oh wait, the character's already designed. They don't have any art concept because it exists already. So that's just one big phase, not worried about.
Right. So we've still got, you know, we got Gardevoir, we got Blissey. Blastoise has already been announced and put in videos and stuff. So everybody knows that that's already coming. It's just a matter of when. So for the first little bit, I guess while they work on, you know, porting over these Pokemon, they can also start to make new ones and do concept designs and betas of all of those Pokemon too. So, I mean, regardless, pretty cool that Blissey's out. There's already been tons of information about it dropped. A lot of it shown on camera and a lot of it just kind of leaked. And I personally, I'm going to have this conversation with you right now. I don't mind talking about that.
Not
the specifics, but like what they do, what the moves do.
Let's talk about what
moves do. So Blissey starts out with two. I don't know if it actually starts a chance.
It'll be out by Wednesday anyway.
Exactly. There you go. I don't know if it starts at Chansey or Happiny, but
it starts at Chansey.
Hate that.
Yeah.
It starts with Pound and Pound and Heal Pulse. Pound damages and slows, which is a really good kit. Good early game, you know, does damage and slows. It's better than, say, Eldegoss, whose, you know, intro moves are kind of eh.
Leafage.
Right.
Does almost nothing.
Right. Heal Pulse heals over time. Again, pretty good. Pretty good to start, especially when Pokemon aren't really doing all that much damage. You know, getting that early game heal is really nice. Pound then turns into either Soft Boiled or Egg Bomb. Soft Boiled heals both yourself and your ally and has three charges to it. So that's pretty
Ooh.
Cool.
Okay, Tarek.
Uh-huh. And then Egg Bomb damages and supposedly knocks up. The information was kind of spotty on that, but I believe that what it said meant that it's a knock-up, which is better than Pound. I like that.
So it looks like they're kind of splitting it between a defender and a supporter, because that sounds very Wigglytuff-esque, and then the other one sounds very Eldegoss-esque.
Well, kind of, right? Because you can go either full healer or mixed heal and damage, right? So like Pound, which is your attacking move, can either go Soft-Boiled, which heals, or Egg Bomb, which does damage. Heal Pulse is your like exclusively healing move. Right. So Heal Pulse turns into Heal Bell. which can remove status from a Pokemon. And to that, in my notes, I just wrote LOL Gengar. Just can't apply the poison anymore. Bye.
As if Gengar wasn't already nerfed.
Exactly,
enough.
Right?
They gave a Pokemon that you can't spam. I mean, if anything, I mean, this might just be the time to finally use Shadow Ball Dream Eater. I mean, yeah. This might be the nail in the coffin here.
Yeah. It also makes the Pokemon immune for a little bit. So that's fun. Or Heal Pulse can also turn into Helping Hand, which increases damage of basic attacks. And it was unclear to me if that's on just the self and the ally, or just on the self, or just on the ally. That one we'll have to see on Wednesday. But regardless, I think Helping Hand is going to be a pretty interesting move if you're pairing it with other, you know, good basic attackers. There are some Pokemon that like very heavily rely on their regular attacks, but you've got other Pokemon which have like empowered basic attacks like Charizard, where Helping Hand can do so much damage.
So I got some information on Helping Hand, because the tweet says that it increases the attack speed of allies as well. So I'm assuming that's Helping Hand. So it looks like Helping Hand is going to increase damage and attack speed of ally Pokemon.
Okay.
Which is kind of nuts. That's really good.
So
and also something
something
worth mentioning is that its ability is Natural Cure, which makes it so that you remove status conditions all like immediately.
Yeah.
You can't get poisoned. You can't get burned.
It does have a cooldown to it, but
yeah,
you are just not getting ganked by Gengars anymore. Just not happening. Then it's
Primarant.
Exactly. Then it's Unite move, moves to an ally. I wrote upon in my notes and all said that. That's not true. Moves to an ally, increases their attack and special attack and gives them a shield. And then any Pokemon that it passes by, and this is what it showed in the trailer, it knocks them up. So it pretty cool that, you know, it's like a charge toward somebody else. It kind of sucks that it doesn't really like do damage, but
yeah.
It's fun. Again, like it makes Pokemon like Venusaur a lot more viable, because Venusaur just doesn't have, I find, the attack and special attack. And even if it does, it just dies so fast. And so, you know, the Unite move that runs over to it, gives it attack and special attack, and gives it a shield. It's like, okay, well, now Venusaur is actually pretty good.
I always mention that Venusaur is like the jack of all trades. It tries to be everything, but does nothing great.
Master of none. Exactly.
Yeah. It depends for the Unite move. In order to sell me, it depends on how big the range is, like how far can you travel, right?
Yeah.
If you can travel a long distance, then sign me up. That's great. If you can travel like right next to yourself and go like a flash distance away, it's not that great.
That kind of attack too kind of takes some getting used to. Like, I don't know how much you've played with Venusaur, but Venusaur's Unite move is probably one of the weirder ones. Harder to control on the Switch, because like you can use it once, but then it shows a crosshair and you actually have to move it before pressing it again. And so some people, like, they'll just spam that Unite move because they're scared because there are four people coming at them, and instead what they can do is just move it around. But you know, some people don't even know that Venusaur's Unite move is, you know, not targeted, but you can move it. People don't know that.
Mm-hmm. What's next on the list? That's a long episode today, folks.
Long episode. Yeah. We're hoping for Blastoise next.
I'm surprised we didn't get it first.
Yeah, honestly.
I guess they must be having problems trying to balance it. I mean, that's the only thing I could possibly think of, is that they can't find a balance to it.
It would make sense to me.
It's probably too good.
Yeah.
Too broken.
I do want to talk about the Kefotix. Is it Kefotix? The data mine?
Yeah.
So the creator of PK Hex, which is a very popular Pokemon generator that people have been using in Sword and Shield, that people have been using before Sword and Shield, people have been using it for a long time. The person who created that is now going over old Pokemon sets and Pokemon that like were used in other tournaments, looking over them and checking for hacking inaccuracies to see which Pokemon were going into their tournaments hacked. And I find that incredibly funny. I cannot stop laughing at that. It's so Oh, dude. The person who made
it's
the
ironic.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, the irony. Oh, the beautiful, hilarious irony. To be the person who made the hacking software and then was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to show the world who's been using it.
I mean, so what's funny. Even funnier is that anti-hackers or anti-PKHex users are on his side. And they're, yeah. I guess, quote unquote, attacking is the word for it. They're attacking these competitive players for using hacked Pokemon and hacked software. But the device that the engine that's running the hack check is created by the person who made the hack to begin with. And it's ironic. Yeah, it's hilarious. I think if anything, me and Mike said at the beginning of the podcast, PKHex is awesome. Mm-hmm. We're on the fence with that. We would not be able to do a lot of the things that we do if it weren't for that program. And we thank Aphotix for that. But, you know, poor creators don't deserve this, man.
It was a trap. It was a trap.
Trap all along.
And but it, so here's the thing. Like, I feel like people shouldn't even feel threatened by that or feel like nervous about it. It's whatever, right? Like, people who are using it are using it to make legit Pokemon who can play in the game as a legit Pokemon, like legal, legit Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I think the argument that Kefotic says that they should have done a better job. They should have better.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fair.
Yeah. Cause it's like very small inaccuracies that technically the Pokemon are legal, right? Mm-hmm. But the chances of acquiring this Pokemon are like 1 billion to 1,
mm-hmm.
like a Regieleki so shiny with zero weight, yeah. zero height and like blah, blah, blah. Like just like,
exactly.
Who cares? It works the same.
and it does speak again from the tweet that we said earlier this podcast at the end of that, where they're saying there are people out there who are spending 1,000+ hours trying to make competitive Pokemon or play or practice with competitive Pokemon to not make anything off of VGC. And some people are playing it for passion, and some people are playing it to see if they can, you know, develop themselves in a career. And mm-hmm. I think this year for Sword and Shield, it's very evident that people who are just specifically specifically competitive players are not yet at the point where we can be making a decent salary off of this. Mm-hmm. Not at the point where you can make a living. The people who are making a healthy living off of Pokemon are the people who are also content creators, who are also streamers, who are also, you know, doing other things apart from going to these tournaments, to supplement that. So all that to say, it like making the Pokemon to enable you to go and compete, we're not even at the point where that is an issue. If people were able to you know, make a decent living off of playing competitively, then sure. Like, scrutinize the people who are, you know, making these Pokemon. Scrutinize the people who are using illegal Pokemon. But until then, just let people play the game. Because right now it's synonymous to people playing on, say, Pokemon Showdown.
Mm-hmm. And guys, if I could still spend 999 hours on Pokemon Sword and Shield and hack, then clearly there's an issue.
Right, exactly.
I'm still spending the time in the game. Another thing worth mentioning is just imagine spending countless hours trying to get enough tickets to get level 30 items on your Pokemon Unite main, and then they're just like, yeah, let's nerf it to the ground. That's what mm-hmm. VGC is, except it happens every day, every week, meta changes. You can't sit there and rebreed your mons every week. That's just,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you can, but good luck. Have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes an amazing amount of focus to be able to do that. And it's an amount of focus that most of the community just doesn't have for everything. Like,
especially adults.
Yes.
We don't have time.
Nobody has time.
I have three jobs at this point.
Right? I have two jobs and a kid. Like, no thanks.
Might as well have three jobs.
All right. So all that out of the way, let's go take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking about VGC Pocket Picks. We've been seeing them all over the place, and I think it's the one thing that can kind of keep VGC alive for the next couple of months before we get any kind of extra news or extra games, for that matter, from the Pokemon Company. All that and more when we come back in just a second. And we're back. Kevin, I want to apologize publicly to you and to our audience, because right now we're on episode 90, and I'll take the responsibility of having forgotten to mention the Pokemon podcast that it of the day that it
Don't
was
tell me.
The podcast Don't Pokemon of the day. I'm not going to tell you, but what I will do is I'll tell you the ones that we've missed.
Because how long has it been?
It's been a while.
You know, I still haven't put the sticker anywhere.
Perfect. So we have not said anything since, I want to say, Slowbro Day? No, Magnemite Day. No, Farfetch Day. That was it.
There was a Farfetch Day?
Yeah. No. Well, I remember that one because I put both Farfetch'd on the screen.
We definitely didn't talk about it.
Maybe I just did it silently. So 84,
oh,
85.
Oh, no, I remember that one.
There you go. 84, 85 was Doduo, Dodrio. So we missed that
one.
We
did those.
Oh, we did those?
No, we did
okay.
those.
Okay, good. 86, 87 was Seal and Dugong.
We did Seal, missed Dugong.
Okay. 88, Dugong 89, is where we stopped. 88, 89 was Grimer and Muk.
Gross.
So straight up missed both of the trash sludge Pokemon.
Alolan was great, 89. Though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like oil yuckiness. Yeah. So now we're on 90, and Kevin, tell me what 90 is.
It's not Dragonite. It's not Mewtwo.
Whoa.
It's not Mew. It's not Gyarados. Can you give me a terrain?
Wait, you'll find it at the beach.
Water.
I don't
or
know,
ground.
Maybe. Or, I don't know.
You find water. It did we do Tentacool? Is it Gyarados? It can't be Gyarados. It has to be a baby mon.
I'll tell you, we missed Tentacool by about 18 episodes.
Oh, never mind. It's not Tentacool. Star me. Star you.
Nope, no.
Star us.
Yes.
Star we.
That's it. Star us.
Another water type? What other water types are there in Gen 1? There are like 80 of them.
mostly water. IGN reviewed it. Too much water.
Suicune. No.
Ooh.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
Cloyster Baby. What's that?
Oh.
Shellmon. Shell.
What?
Shellstar.
Who
Shell,
are you?
Sheldur.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Babies. If it hasn't been in a VGC tournament, it's not in my brain.
Wow. Correct. Yes. Happy Shellder Day, everybody. Episode 90. Pokemon 90. It's Shellder.
You going to say you're proud of me? Or like, no, am I going to get any
I'm
type of praise?
Absolutely
for
not proud of you for having forgotten the word Shellder.
My next guess was Poliwag. I know Poliwag.
Oh, that's fair. I feel like...
That feels like an early one,
though. The Polys were when we were actually doing it. Yeah.
We did it?
I think so.
Oh, never
I think
mind.
That was back when we had the PowerPoint on the screen.
I got a lot of questions about that whole evolution line.
Poliwag, Poliwhirl. Yeah, it grows feet and hands.
No, like just where the heck did Politoed come from? It's green.
I mean, it's the natural progression. I think that arguably is where Poliwag should have gone first.
I see. I agree with that, but since it didn't, that's where I have questions.
That's fair.
You gotta be a king, I guess. You gotta get a king's rock. You know, you gotta be on the, pedestal to be a toad.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Next episode is gonna be smashing. All right. Let's talk VGC. In VGC right now, we're seeing a bit of an advent, where we're seeing a bit of a resurgence, a change in the meta.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on? There are currently some pocket picks going on. What are pocket picks? Pocket picks are Pokemon. Pocket picks are Pokemon that present a palpable potential in, oh, I could probably keep going, but I won't. Pokemon that are different than the meta to change up the meta. Hey.
You did it. Those are all peace.
That's it. Yeah. Put change yeah. up the meta.
There it is. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but it feels like a lot of people, and especially a lot of top players in these tournaments, if you guys don't believe us, go ahead on Babiri.net and scroll. It looks like people are just running five meta mons mm-hmm. plus pocket pick. And that got me thinking, like, this is different mm-hmm. because typically you would see the top, you know, 25 usage over and over and over again. But now you're seeing the top 25 usage on five of your spots. And then people are whipping out Trapinch. Like,
okay, I need to ask you about that one. Looking at Babiri.net, top 10 teams right now look actually pretty good. First off, number one doesn't really necessarily have a pocket pick unless you consider.
I mean, I'd say the Zapdos.
Zapdos, yeah.
That one.
Rillaboom, Serena, Whimsicott, three grass in a row. Interesting. Kyogre, Regieleki, and Galarian Zapdos. Number one right now at 1853 rating. So that's pretty cool. But then going down, you see pocket picks like, you know, you got Palkia in number two, which I would consider a pocket pick. And then a bunch of scissors.
I know. I kind of want to try scissor. Scissor was one of my favorite Pokemon to use. Mm-hmm. It used to be so easy. Just choice banded bullet punch until the end of time. I wonder why it's being used now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
It has to be something with Dynamax, right? Just the fact that Dynamax is gone means that these mons that were kind of good, but not good with Dynamax can be good again. You know, Scizor, you didn't want to Dynamax it because then you lose the priority on Bullet Punch. You just kind of be bad in the sky.
I mean, if we're theory crafting here, the idea behind Scizor too, you know, you can take out a Xerneas pretty nicely.
Oh yeah,
with a Scizor,
quite easily too.
Yeah. Don't really have to worry too much about Rillaboom with it. Don't have to worry that much about Whimsicott, even.
Don't have to worry about Trick Room at all. You got priority.
Yeah.
The only thing you really have to worry about is things like Serena and things like Indeedee, because then you stop that priority. But if you can manage your way around that, it's not too bad. I mean, Scizor gets bug moves, so you can probably deal with the Indeedee that way. So it's not even the end of the world, right? I think Scizor is just in a place to where a lot of fire types got nerfed, to where Max Flare is less of a thing. And, you know, you don't have the Dynamax to be good anymore.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking on Pikalytics right now. It looks like most people are running Bullet Punch, U-Turn, Dual Wing Beat, and Superpower. So
there's the U-Turn, yeah.
There's the
U-Turn. Dual Wing Beat. Oh, that's new.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. Going through some more pocket picks here. I'm seeing Pinkurchin back in the top 10. That makes me very happy.
Also, two Alolan Ninetales in top 10. That's so wild.
That's a Unite thing. It's got to be.
You think
Unite
so?
Thing.
It could be an Aurora Veil thing because Lapras is gone though.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably that. Yeah. See, but like, I think this is how VGC stays alive for the next couple of months. You know, like people start bringing these Pokemon that you don't really normally see, and it kind of livens things up. Like it doesn't feel like it's the same game over and over and over.
I didn't mention this earlier,
mm.
but I formed a new theory on the competitive future of VGC.
Okay.
So we didn't talk about this yet, but I guess we can mention it now.
Yeah.
Apparently the news that we're getting on Wednesday was, I guess, quote unquote, leaked by a very credible source, person mm-hmm. that's been correct pretty much 100% of the time in terms of leaks, to have not so much information on BDSP, but a lot of information on Legends, which is all the information they gave up, which is good because they're not spoiling us. That got me thinking that BDSP is probably not going to be the competitive game, right? But BDSP has been shown to have aspects of Platinum in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Glycidia Flower Girl is in the game. It has been shown in the trailers that she is there to get, you know, the Shaman Glycidia Flower, etc. So it is going to be Platinum based, but just called BDSP, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Platinum had National Dex. What does this mean? Maybe they finally opened the darn Dex on Switch, but you have to transfer it over from Platinum. I mean, from BDSP. That would be a way to make Switch relevant for a while longer. You introduce the rest of the decks.
Interesting. See, the way that I'm starting to see this, I'm starting to see Legends as a potential candidate for, you know, competitive Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think of it less as a new type of game and more of like a Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Coliseum, just with like a better open world Legend of Zelda kind of feel to it. So in my mind, there's now potential for them to take on all competitive whatever, which the more that I think about it, the less that I think that Ilka is actually going to be in charge of competitive because of TPCI. If they still want to have VGC tournaments, if they still want to have esports tournaments, I doubt that they're going to have a third party involved in such a way. Because they didn't for Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, the thing made by Niantic.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Yeah, they definitely don't want anyone else involved if they're going to try to have a competitive scene. And they're clearly going to try to have a competitive scene after seeing the turnout for this last Players' Cup. Like, there's no way they could see 50,000 people, the most that we've ever seen live at a Pokemon tournament, and just be like, yeah, no, we don't want to put any investment into this.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I think we're going to see an interesting development. I don't think they're going to drop it. I that's just my hope and prayer that they just do not drop the competitive aspect of Pokemon. Just, it's competitive at its nature. Like, you gotta.
I think whatever we are saying right now is going to be made a lot clearer on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how much they show us. But I think me and Mike are on the same page. It's not going to be BDSP.
No. We're gonna be tweeting about it as the news comes out. So please do make sure that you are following us on Twitter at PokeSportsPod at least by this Wednesday. If you want to hold off a little bit, that's fine. But by Wednesday, just make sure that you're following, because there's going to be some news. Of course, as well, you can follow us on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/pokesports and twitch.tv/pokesports. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That's the end of our podcast, by the way. And follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/pokesportspodcast. Going to be a very interesting couple of weeks coming up, so make sure that you have your ear to the ground here. I want to give a big shout out and a big thank you to patrons such as Matthew H, Corey, Carlo H, Scott D, Joseph G, King Boo, Martine, Ahmed, Arctivish, Dylan, Greg T, Lewis J, Make It Totter, Ryan G, and so on. I want to give a big thanks to our mods, Mod Lupus, Mod Pierre, Mod Tofu, all of you folks, patrons and mods, and all of the people who are listening right now, you guys make this worthwhile. You guys make this awesome for us. Thank you so much. I want to give a big thanks for M-Dash for making every single second of every single piece of music you hear on this podcast. Kevin, you excited for the next couple of weeks? Or like, no?
You're sure?
What?
I'm pretty excited.
Is you pretty excited?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. You going to play Blissey?
We'll see you next time.